The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Oh, man. We're back with a massive answer of the week. 19 of you jerks called us. This is crazy.
Don't expect a whole lot of interaction. Holy, we're going to breeze through this.
Welcome back to the answer of the week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. Across from me is the man that handles the question of the week duties.
And I am him.
I do mean duty. His name is Joe Patrick. Say hello, buddy.
Hi.
Every week, Joey puts the question of the week up on the THN forums. You guys can go there and answer. You can write as much as you want. Or, if you're feeling like a badass, you can call us at 402-819-4894. Leave me a two-minute message with your answer. Or, you can send us an MP3 to twoheadednerd@gmail.com with your answer. It still needs to be less than 2 minutes, or I'm going to kick your call in the crotch, Joey. Before we get to it, tell the kids what we asked them this week.
This week's question came from forum user Molenweich, who asked,
if we're saying that wrong, let us know.
Nah, he didn't correct me.
Okay.
He or she. Who is your favorite?
Yeah.
Who is your favorite fictional time traveler?
Time travelers. That's a good one. Let's get into it. Let's go straight to D. Murray.
How's it going, guys? D here answering your question a week, and I couldn't be more pumped to answer this question. Oh, I just swear, I don't care. You gotta bleep that out, Matt.
Thanks, D. I appreciate it.
My buddy. Answer is the only time traveler that matters. No, it's not Doctor Who. I don't care about Doctor Who. He's so damn boring and wacky and zany. No, it's Metron. That is the one true, awesome, super freaking awesome time traveler. That dude can do no wrong in my eyes. And well, until the new 52 happened and Batman got his power, and I just made myself sad now.
Metron, new god, sits in the time chair.
The Mobius chair.
That's
yeah, it's the time chair.
The time chair.
Listen, Jesus.
My first day. Give me a break. I do like Metron, though.
Metron's cool, but he's certainly not a good guy. He plays for his own team.
Metron's a badass, though.
Yeah.
And right now, Batman is Metron. He is not incorrect.
He's not incorrect.
It's stupid.
It's not that stupid.
It's not great either, though.
Oh, come on.
You read it. Did you love it?
There's nothing wrong. It's a fun idea that they knock Metron off the Mobius chair and Batman sits on it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. I just feel like, never mind. I'm not going into it. He's not a new god. I feel like you're not a new god. You can't make that work.
The chair does all the work.
I suppose. Speaking of a guy that does all the work on the show, Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn, calls every week. We appreciate it. Take it away, Ant.
What's up, nerds? Anthony, currently from Brooklyn here with my favorite time traveler, Booster Gold. No doubt. I love this character. I think he is such a fantastic idea for a character. Great origin and totally ahead of his time. I feel like if he were created today, he might make an even bigger splash with so many people's obsession with media and celebrity and just getting rich. And he also has maybe the best origin for a name, like for Booster Gold. The origin of his name is completely amazing. But even more than that, it's the journey he's taken as a character that makes me love him. Like, you know, when he first shows up, he's a good guy, but he wants to get paid, right? He still wants to do the right thing.
We can relate to that, right?
Well, this endorsement deal is maybe a little bit more important. But in his first series, he starts to go on the path of right, you know, at the end of that series. Joins up with the JLI, has that much storied friendship with Blue Beetle, and really gets cast in the role of a buffoon, right? Now, as a fan of his, it was cool to see him get so much play all across the DC universe. But it was also a bummer because everybody thought he was a jerk and a loser. And it lasted like that for years, really until 52. And I don't want to spoil 52 for anybody who hasn't read 52. You should read 52. But I'll spoil this. You get to see him be a real hero, and it's so gratifying. And then the new series by Geoff Johns shows up, and he's the greatest hero no one's ever heard of. Everybody still thinks he's a jerk, but secretly, he's protecting the time stream, which, you know, is an arduous task and completely awesome. And Booster Gold, best time traveler. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I would argue 52 is probably the best Booster Gold story I've read.
52 is great.
It was so good.
For the most part.
It was so good. Him and Rip Hunter, like, ripping through time.
Well, that kind of happened later in the Booster Gold ongoing.
Yeah, but they met in 52. That's where they hooked up.
Yeah, fair enough. Anthony wrote in to Late Honest saying that if you didn't read the Dan Jurgens original series, you may not know the origin of Booster's name, which he was so excited about in his call.
Yeah, he's like, it's awesome. Next subject.
So back in the 25th century where Booster's from, he was given the nickname Booster as a collegiate quarterback. And when he decided on his plan to travel back in time to become a superhero, he knew that there was going to be an assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan's life. Spoilers. He saves the president. Reagan didn't die. We all know this. This is history.
What?
Thanks,
wait a minute.
Thanks, Booster.
What?
Thanks, Booster. And so Booster's there and he's all set to meet the press and he's nervous and he's flustered and he's already picked himself a superhero name. He wants to be called Gold Star. When Reagan asks him his name, he blurts out Booster. Because it's what he's used to.
Oh, yeah.
And then goes, no, Gold. And then before he can finish, Reagan interrupts him and says, Booster Gold. And because he doesn't want to embarrass the president, he sticks with it.
That's awesome. Let's go to Black Scorpion the 3.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony. Oh, getting pulled into BS3 bachelor pad.
Oh, Kang. Kang, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. First, it's your name. That name, Kang, that is a name that is made for a time traveler. Really has that flair that a good time traveling villain needs. Isn't that right, Zarko? But two, your history with me. You were my first Secret Wars toy. I knew even as a kid that you were head and shoulders above that brown guy with the knife hands.
I go. I wanna go.
Oh, just go away, Wolvie. This is Kang's time. You get it? Three, Kang, you're a mess. And that's how a time traveler should be. Leave those two-sentence character summaries for Spider-Man. You have lifetimes and dimensions to account for. But four, Kang, you're a whole lot of man. You're an Egyptian pharaoh. You're a young Avenger. You are a Scarlet Centurion. And hell, you are your own Council of Kangs. Five, Kang, baby, you got Kurt Busiek at your back. That guy wrote the Kang Dynasty and Avengers Forever with you right there front and center. And I can't give an answer on this show without some Busiek or Wade, right? Six, Kang, not only can you take down the Avengers, but you can take down the Justice League too? That's right, it's Scarlet Centurion. I won't forget. You beat Marvel's Superman by poisoning Hyperion. But why do I love you most? Well, believe it or not, it was the love at first sight, Kangy baby. Your first appearance on Avengers number 8, that cover, it won me over. Listeners, I'm sure you all feel the same about this. There is nothing more satisfying than seeing Thor fling his hammer at Kang in his fourth field on that cover and just watching it so harmlessly just falls aside. I love you, Kang. You are my favorite time traveler.
I also love Kang. I love Kang.
That was way more impassioned than I was expecting.
That was beautiful. Now, he didn't go into my favorite thing about Kang, though, and that is Kang's nemesis, Immortus, who is Kang from the future.
Well, he kind of touched on it.
Yeah,
the idea that Kang has many different identities during this time.
But, like, the coolest thing about Kang is his future self, Immortus, is hunting younger him, Kang, through time.
And when you think about it, so is his younger self, yes. Iron Lad, which means middle-aged Kang is a real piece of
Well, a piece of work, anyway. I love Kang the Conqueror. That was going to be my answer of changing my answer.
Listen, Anthony. No, sorry. Listen, Black Scorpion. I love Busiek as much as the next guy, and you know I'm with you. But the Kang Dynasty is not a really great story.
No.
It went on for so long.
It did.
So long.
Yeah, it kind of wandered off. Avengers Forever.
Avengers Forever. I love it.
Awesome. Was that Salvador LaRocca that drew that?
Carlos Pacheco.
And he drew probably my favorite Kang in that book to date.
Yep.
I love Kang. Great answer.
We don't got time for this. Let's go.
Stephen Fino, take it away.
Very dramatic.
Hello again. This is Lord Stephen, Master of Coins, sending in my answer to the question of the week. When it comes to favorite time travelers, I thought that my main answer, the Doctor, was way too obvious to send in, so I'm going with my secondary answer from my favorite time-traveling movie, James Cole from Terry Gilliam's 12 Monkeys. Terry Gilliam is one of my all-time favorite directors, having directed my favorite film, Brazil, and I love the way that he messes up your head when watching his movies. When James is sent back in time, people obviously don't take him seriously when he says he's a time traveler, and he's sent to an insane asylum. During his time there, he is quote-unquote cured of his delusion, and the doctor who admitted him in the first place then has to convince him that he really is a time traveler in order to save humanity. So aside from the doctor, my favorite time traveler is James Cole from 12 Monkeys. Bye.
That's a pretty great answer.
That's a rad answer. I love 12
really
Monkeys.
Outside the box.
And that new 12 Monkeys show that is on Sci-Fi is pretty good. I've seen like 6 episodes of it, and I like it.
Yeah, but it stars the kid that played Pyro in X-Men 2, and I hate that dude.
Whatever. It's not his fault that he got a weird... Job's a job. You said it yourself.
Yeah, I suppose I did.
It's not his fault that he got a weird one.
I haven't seen 12 Monkeys since college. Since 1997.
Great movie. Great movie. Terry Gilliam, good answer. Stephen Fino, the official THN Master of Coin. We appreciate all his hard work. Although, the coin has not been coming in like it used to. So...
It's not his job to make the coin. It's his job to manage
it and account it and, you know, tell us how much it's worth or whatever. Let's get to Tim Benson and see if he can work Daredevil into time travel somehow.
Tim Benson, TB Rambling on Twitter here, traveling back in time to the days when I would troll the two-headed nerd with silly and ridiculous Daredevil answers to all of their questions. Ramble. So, this week, answering the time-traveling
like
question. It's not Daredevil, actually. 1602. I know it's not the answer or even the question, but my favorite time travel story, I'm going to go alternate universe and say 1602, imagining...
Okay, back up. Time traveler. Person.
Yeah, this is not an appropriate answer to this question.
Tim, I love you.
Yeah, sorry, Tim. That is... No.
You want to go best alternate universe, maybe, but no.
We already did that question.
We
already did best alternate / Elseworlds. That would have been a perfect answer, Tim. You should have started listening earlier.
We appreciate your call. Hope to hear from you again.
Disqualified.
Stick to the question, buddy. You know who always sticks to the question every week? My boy, Randy Andrews.
Gotcha. I bet his answer is Doctor Who. Yeah,
it
is.
This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, or more appropriately, Alex Wisdom asked, who is our favorite time traveler?
Well,
guys, I had a hard time with this one. I could have chosen Marty McFly, Dr. Emmett Brown, the time traveler scientist from the Time Machine, Q, or Deshet. My wife's favorite is Claire Frazier from Outlander. Mine is Doctor Who. I don't think there's any better. He has a sonic screwdriver. He's over 900 years old. He's a Time Lord. Oh, and he can regenerate. Well,
these are all Doctor Who facts.
Hope you like it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is from Doctor Who Season 5.
Randy, you get better and better every week.
Bye for now.
I'm saying take your music down just a little bit. Just a little bit.
It was pretty loud this week.
It was pretty loud. Doctor Who.
He's excited about Doctor Who.
Randy Andrew lists several things that are true about Doctor Who. We appreciate it.
Those were all Doctor Who facts. Q is such a good answer to this question.
It's a great answer.
I can't believe it never occurred to me.
Where Randy does every week, where he calls in, he's like, I could have said this. I could have said that. Like, hey. Like, come on. Some of these might be somebody's answer.
Yeah, taking answers off the board.
Yeah, come on, Rando. Thanks for your call, buddy. Let's get to the official.
The doctor, of course.
Right.
A very obvious answer to this question, and I'm stunned it took 5 calls.
We can't have a show. Well, we did say, let's think outside the box, you know. But we can't have a show about time travel without Doctor Who coming.
Look, if your favorite is Doctor Who, then your favorite
is Doctor
Who. I get
it. Stick your guns. Let's go to the THN old timer, Gregory Litchfield.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry about the noise, Matt and Joe. I'm still trying to plunge these damn bag comics down the toilet. Good thing I called the plumber because they're not budging. My answer to this week's question. My favorite time and space traveler is Doctor Who. Specifically,
back
the
to
fourth
back.
Doctor as portrayed by Tom Baker. They say your first doctor is always your favorite, and that is certainly true for me. While I've since gone on to watch all the other classic Doctors 1 through 7 on DVD and have watched all the episodes of the new series, my favorite is still and always will be the scarf-wearing, jelly-baby-eating fourth Doctor. Not only was Tom Baker the longest-tenured actor to play the Doctor, 8 seasons, but he had some of my favorite companions as well, from Sarah Jane to Layla, and Romana 1, and particularly Romana 2. The fourth Doctor was accompanied by Canine? Some of the most intelligent and lovely women in the series' 50-plus-year
oh,
run.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and K-9, his dog-like computer, was and still is my favorite robot character of all time. Oh, I gotta go. I hear the plumber coming.
I like that he went Doctor Who, but he picked his favorite Doctor.
Yeah, of course. You've got to pick your favorite Doctor.
Yeah, you've got to pick your favorite Doctor. That's not to say that Randy doesn't count. I would have liked to hear who Randy's favorite Doctor was.
I appreciate that Greg has a sense of humor about how we totally made fun of him, his collecting habits a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, go see How Do You Store Your Comics 2 episodes ago.
Yeah.
2 episodes ago. That was a good callback. Thank you, buddy. Let's go to the Google Voice line.
Real quick, though, they say your first Doctor is your favorite Doctor. Not true in my case, because my first Doctor was Christopher Eccleston.
Mine was, too.
And I did not really dig it.
That was back when I was still allergic to British sci-fi, so I just couldn't even do it. It was too much.
Yeah.
The mannequin arms chasing people around. What the f*** is this?
I love Doctor Who.
I have no idea who this is calling us.
Ooh, Google Voice.
All right, let's
see. It says, "Hey, Nerd Kenrick, Thomas Guy here."
Let's see who it is.
Hey, nerd. Casual Thomas Guy here for the question of the week.
It's Joe.
Didn't have time to do an MP3, so please deal with the horrible sound effects. My favorite time traveler is from an obvious show, but is not the obvious choice. Dun diddle 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 dun Doctor Who. Let's all disagree here. Doctor Who is the best show ever about traveling through time. Ignoring the obvious contradictions and paradoxes have become par for the course for a show with a 50-year history. And the new series has created some really touching emotional moments. My favorite time traveler from the show is... That was my TARDIS noise, by the way. Rose Tyler. She had the greatest range of time-space character arc and awesomeness quotient over any companion in the show, by far. She met an evil Simon Pegg in the far future. Awesome. She went back to World War II and saved all of humanity. Awesome. She had to juggle her personal life with time travel, not just her boyfriend, but her mom, too, way before Clarice thinking Oswald. Plus, her dad died, and she had to face the fact that she could never bring him back. She met him, they had a moment, he died, tiny tear. Then she kept on adventuring with the 10th Doctor until they were torn apart forever in time and space, and I wept like a baby. Rose Tyler is now, and ever will be, my companion of choice in Doctor Who, and therefore is the best fictional time traveler of all time. Do we do 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 Joe and Matt, please tell me you'll fix some of the sound effects in post. Thanks, nerds.
I'm sorry, that is not my job.
Homemade sound effects. Yeah.
That's a great answer, because he says I love Doctor Who, but he goes out of the box and picks Rose Tyler. I like it.
Joe, welcome back. We missed you, buddy.
We did. It's nice to hear from you.
I will say that for my money, if we're picking a favorite companion that had a really great character arc through time and space, it's Rory.
Yeah, Rory was great.
The embattled husband of Amy Pond.
Yeah, Rory was great.
Who lived as a freaking clone robot centurion version of himself for 1,000 years in a tomb, sci-fi tomb, to save his wife.
Who is the...
I might be getting some of those details wrong.
I think you may
but you know what I mean.
Conflated that a little bit.
Like 1,000 years that dude like sat and waited.
Rory was great. I loved him.
Ugh.
Who was the companion before her, the redhead, the bigger girl?
Donna Noble.
Donna Noble's my favorite.
I like Donna because there was no way, there was nothing, no hint of any romance.
No.
They were like best bros.
And Donna's dad was so great. I loved her father. He was like the ex-military guy that had met the doctor like back in the war when he was around or whatever.
I don't remember.
Oh, he was so great. I loved Donna. She was such a bitch.
No, I love Donna. Good job, Joe. Rose is, of course, great. Everyone loves Rose.
Right.
I love Rose.
Speaking of strong females, let's get to Elise Wisdom. She came up with this question.
Hey, nerds. It's Elise Wisdom here to answer this week's question about favorite time travelers. I almost went with Sex Criminals, and I almost went with Ash from Army of Darkness, but I had to go with my gut instinct, and that is Hot Tub Time Machine. This movie is hilarious, and all the scenes where Crispin Glover may or may not lose his arm are some of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. But that's not why I'm picking this movie. I'm picking this movie because I love John Cusack. I love Lloyd Dobler, Martin Blank, and Rob Gordon. But as much as I love Lloyd Dobler, and how could I not, I really hate the ending to Say Anything. At the end of that movie, he says he's decided what he wants to do with his life. He wants to be Ione Skye's boyfriend. And then he gets on a plane and goes to England with her while she joins a think tank and becomes a genius. Bad decision, bro. Trust me on this. I moved to Los Angeles because I thought I wanted to be somebody's girlfriend, and we can all see how well that turned out. So I like to imagine that John Cusack's character in Hot Tub Time Machine is basically Lloyd Dobler in the future. I'm sure everything was great in England at first, but slowly they realize, holy crap, we're 18 years old, we just made a huge mistake. But neither of them wants to admit it and be the bad guy. They try to stick it out. Maybe Lloyd gets a job at a movie theater. Ione Skye spends more and more time at the think tank, and they grow apart. Eventually, they admit it's not working, and Lloyd comes home and goes back to hanging out with his old high school buddies.
Talking about time travelers?
He has no college degree or any real skills. So he gets a job selling insurance and slowly becomes a bitter.
Okay, okay.
Like, to be perfectly fair, we cut off Tim.
Yeah, no.
You named your favorite time travel movie.
Right.
Which is
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Only an excuse for you to talk about John Cusack.
Lloyd Dobler, not a time traveler. Okay. And for those of you not keeping up on your Elise Wisdom fan blog, she does not live in LA anymore and is no longer with that guy. That's what she was talking about.
Right. Now she's dating the unicorn.
Right. She made up a boyfriend from the Niagara Falls area that may or may not exist. We're not sure.
I've met him. He is real.
Okay.
Now he's just a horse, I guess. Not a unicorn. I don't know.
Not a unicorn? More like a goat with one horn?
Isn't a horse just a unicorn that's real? I don't know.
No. I mean,
sorry, I screwed up that metaphor. At least
horses are real. I'll give you that.
Your boyfriend definitely does not look like a horse.
I've never seen a horse. Prove it.
You put
one margarita on this kid, like the whole thing comes off the rails.
She was gonna use Sex Criminals, also not an
not time travelers. But she said that
they stop time.
She said that on the forums, and I corrected her. I was like, nope, doesn't count. They stop time. They're not traveling through time. That's not how it works.
Semantics don't work. You know who travels through time sometimes? The Avengers.
Yeah.
Do you know who aren't time travelers?
The Avengers. Yes.
They are not known for time traveling.
They have been in time capers, yes.
Superman has traveled through time, too. And he is not a time traveler.
No.
Yeah, really. One margarita just really loosens up the whole process.
Wow, jeez.
I'm going to drink some more of this second margarita.
Speaking of loose, let's go across the track to Council Bluffs, Iowa to talk to Carl Smith, our very own Camarillo Brillo.
Hey, Carl Smith here. Favorite time-traveling fictional character has to be Peabody and Sherman.
Oh,
I know that's kind of cheating
because
it's two, but they kind of come as a unit. I just love the idea of the smart dog and his kind of dumb human that he owns as a pet, and he kind of explains history through the eyes of those old Jay Ward cartoons, kind of that humor that prevailed through the Rocky and Bullwinkle and all those other little fractured fairy tales. Time travel's a hard sell to me. I mean, the Rip Hunter stuff with Booster Gold was pretty fun, but otherwise, I just have a hard time buying into it. But always love Peabody and Sherman. Thanks, guys.
Love that answer. I loved Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
The Wayback Machine?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, those were so good.
Good answer.
Yeah, an extra on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. Such a great story.
Let me ask you a question. This is apropos of nothing. It's just popped into my head. Sorry, Carl. Do Marshall, Will, and Holly count as time travelers?
No.
Or do you think that they were transported to more of a savage land-like situation?
No. They were just time displaced. They didn't travel through time and go to several places. They were just displaced in time. They're not time travelers. They just got sucked way back and sat there. Had they gone like to the Old West and then like to visit Napoleon and whatnot, I'd be like, yeah, they're time travelers. They're just time displaced. That's all.
Okay.
The Captain America, not a time traveler.
Like the one displaced. No, Captain America is not time displaced either. He fell asleep for 60 years.
Yeah. But I mean, like, he's a man out of time, you know?
No, he's a man out of time because that's just a clever way to describe him.
All right. Maybe that was a bad analogy.
He did not like walk into his apartment in 1945 and then walk out of his apartment in 2005. Okay,
but I would still say they are just time displaced. They went one place. Going one place does
right,
not a time
traveler.
Right,
but the only story in which they are featured involves traveling to a different time period.
But going to one time period only does not a time traveler make.
I'm just saying we might have to deal with answers sort of similar to that.
We're not gonna
as we progress.
No. They're not time travelers.
How much you want to bet that Willie Toots picks Land of the Lost as his favorite time travel?
He very well may, and I will say it doesn't count. You guys want to argue it? Let's go to the forums. I'll put up a poll. Marshall, Will, and Holly, time travelers, yes or no? I'm saying no. They are time displaced.
We got another Google voice call. I have no idea who this is.
He says his name is Jeff. I don't believe it. Could be a bad guy. Sounds made up to me, Jeff.
Hey guys, Jeff Hitt calling from Omaha, and I have an answer for favorite time traveler. My favorite time traveler is a non-traditional one, and it involves some pretty massive spoilers to James Robinson's Starman storyline, so if you haven't read that yet, you should do that before listening to my answer. But my answer is pretty simple.
We'll pause
here. My favorite time travel story is when David dies, and at the moment of his death, he is sent back in time by Kent Nelson, and he lives out his life, like 1 year of his life, as the Starman of 1951. It was a great way of cementing and solidifying the whole heroic legacy of the entire Knight family. It answered the niggling questions of what happened and who was the Starman of 1951. And it gave this satisfying sense of his life not being a complete waste and a complete sadness, but that he actually had an opportunity to be the hero he always wanted to be, while at the same time putting a bookend to his life and making his death and loss not completely meaningless, but also at the same time real, and it actually happened. So yeah, that's my favorite time traveler of all time. Probably not the normal or typical one, but it was the one that meant the most to me. So thanks guys, and I hope I get to hear this sometime. Bye.
Jeff Hitt, welcome aboard.
Okay.
You've been listening to this damn show for 4 years. You finally call in. Come on.
Are we sure he's never called before?
I don't think Jeff's ever called us before.
I don't think he's ever called.
I don't think he has. Welcome aboard. Wish him welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Jeff.
Okay. Now,
we just got done talking about
just had this argument,
the semantic difference between time travelers and characters that happened to travel through time.
Yes. Like the same way we said the Avengers have had time capers.
And maybe we have an unfair bias.
No, I would argue if the Avengers, who have traveled through time a ton of times, are not time travelers, just happen to be flung forward and backwards in time every once in a while. They are not time travelers. I'm saying David Knight, who went one place and one place only, 1951, lived out the final year of his life as the Starman in 1951.
Yeah.
Not a time traveler. Time displaced, yes. But David does not have the power to travel time, to make himself travel time.
Yeah, I'm wrestling with this. I'm wrestling with this
time machine, guys. They have a machine they can get in. They have a hot tub they get in that they travel time with. So they can do that. They can go places. I'm saying you have to either have the power or
the means
or the device. Like the Flash is a time traveler. The Flash has the time treadmill, has used it several times, and
it's the cosmic treadmill.
Pardon me. The cosmic treadmill has used it several times and has used his own powers to go so fast that he can travel through time.
I'm sad. Obviously, the listeners have a different interpretation of this question than we do. I'm wrestling with it.
With that said,
Jeff did push all my buttons.
With that said, I love the answer and I love the story. And unfortunately, I have to say, it doesn't count. He's not a time traveler.
I can't
be a man.
I'm not gonna do that to Jeff on his first call.
If this were a geek challenge, You would say? You would say it doesn't count.
I would say that there's definitely room for debate.
You would say it doesn't count.
I would not say that it doesn't count in the same way.
The key challenge is hard and fast.
In
no
the
gray
same
area.
Way that that Cannonball doesn't count as a character that has flame powers.
Yeah, doesn't count.
Because he's got rocket butt.
Yeah, doesn't count. Let's go to Jason Sachs. Thank you very much for your call,
so
Jeff.
I'm so conflicted.
We love you. Always good to hear
I'm
from you.
I'm so conflicted.
Oh, get over yourself. Take it away, sexier.
Old school theme.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of it. Heavy on the treble. Jesus.
Hey, guys. Jason Sachs here. At Jason Sachs on the Twitters, even though I'm rarely on the Twitters these days.
I noticed.
Yes, I'm going with Scratch. I'm going with the Doctor. He's the best. He's a time tourist. He doesn't care what he does. He'll mess things up. He'll do things the way he wants to do them. He'll hang out with his companion, have a good time, have a few drinks, meet some beautiful alien girls, cause some trouble. It's all about the Doctor. He's a winner.
Short and sweet from Jason Sachs.
Boom. I'm going to cut that off. That
turns
treble.
The music way back up.
Brutal. Jace, we got to invest in a magic MP3 machine, buddy. We love hearing from you. Another Doctor Who obviously was going to be the most popular answer.
Obviously.
It's 4 o'clock. It's not quite 4:20, but it is definitely Toots time.
Toots time. Isn't that ironic? Because we're talking about time. Wow. My favorite time traveler is actually plural time travelers.
Did you call this?
Here we go.
And that would be Randall.
No.
Fidget. Strutter.
The Time Bandits.
Og.
He stole my answer.
And Vermin.
Son of a bitch!
Who are those guys? Well, if you didn't know, you probably didn't grow up in the 80s. Well, you probably did, but maybe you were too young to be in the movie theaters in 1981, gazing at Terry Gilliam's Time Bandits.
One of my favorite films.
That movie had such a big impact on me.
Never seen it.
Oh my God.
1981 was a really life-changing year for me, and so that movie was just another part of that. And that's why those little lovable scamps and their incredibly dark comedy, dark world, and adventures in time and reality have to be my favorite. The full movie is on YouTube for your viewing pleasures if you've never seen it.
I haven't.
Just be prepared. It's quite a trip through time.
Oh, please. He's got to play in the background, by the way. That was great. That was my answer. He stole it from me. I love the Time Bandits. They're a group of midgets that have a map made by God.
They're little people, Matt.
Pardon me. They're a group of little people that have a map made by God that allows them to travel to all these different places in space and time where they steal riches, basically. It's so good.
Sounds pretty good.
Such a great movie. Good answer. Thank you, Wooly Toots.
Real quick. Some people have expressed dissatisfaction. And I know that you're a father. You got a young boy. Sometimes you're at work.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to Wooly Toots.
Oh.
I know that sometimes you're
I'm not
public.
Raising my kids.
I know that it's not always the right time, but we have people have expressed, not me, others on the forums have expressed some dissatisfaction that we are not getting an impassioned declaration of Toots time from Mr. Toots.
They want it back.
Like we were in the past.
They want the roaring Toots time.
I'm just saying it's the people. I am not offering any criticism.
Give them what they want, Jared.
You,
come on.
I'm just letting you know. I'm passing it on.
The nerds have spoken. They want it back. They want to feel Toots time. Right now, let's go to Harvey Locust. Answer of the week, Stalwart.
Hey nerds, Locust here. And when I'm not trying to convince people on the internet that Carl Grimes will be our next time-traveling hero, going back to stop the initial outbreak, thus explaining his appearance on Fear of the Walking Dead, I'm calling in my answer to the question of the week.
Haven't seen
it. Now, initially, I was going to go with Voyagers, but Anfernee, who currently resides in Brooklyn, had to go and ruin that one for me. Actually, that kind of pointed me in a better direction, I think. I really wanted to win Matt's vote this time, and I really had to think outside the box. So my answer to this week's question, it's not a person. It's not a place. It's not even a physical thing. It's a message. And that message is this.
This is not a dream. Not a dream. We are using the brain's bandwidth system as a receiver. We are unable to transmit through conscious neural interference. You are receiving this broadcast as a dream. We are transmitting from year 1999. You are receiving this broadcast in order to alter the events you receive. Our technology
now, if you haven't seen John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness,
I knew I knew that.
Prince of Darkness, I highly suggest you check it out. It's a wonderful story that I'm surprised hasn't been remade yet. It's got green stuff, it's got Satan, it's got Donald Pleasance. It's got everything you need in a John Carpenter movie and so much more. I'm sure Matt will fill you in. But yeah, that's my answer of the week. The message on Prince of Darkness.
Prince of Darkness was awesome. One of my favorite John Carpenter movies. Super terrifying. Where like the people of the future send back this like message that people are receiving in their dreams, basically. Now, doesn't count.
Well, now why?
Doesn't count. It's a message. One, it's not a person. Two,
who said it has to be a person?
It only happens once. We just agreed it has to be someone who has a tool or a power that allows them to travel through time. This is people sending.
Look, man, it wasn't our question. It was Mullenweg's question.
This is a group of people sending a message back through time. Doesn't count. Otherwise, we got to count the lake house, and I'm not counting that. Okay.
You've never seen the lake house. You don't know what you're talking about.
I've seen the lake house. I'm married to Casey Baum, Keanu Reeves' biggest fan. You bet your ass I saw the lake house. All right. Well, I love the answer. It's very clever. It's way out of the box. It does not count as a time traveler. I got to be hard here.
Do you?
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's the rules. We've been hard on others. We have to be hard on ours.
Yes, I know. But now here we are.
No.
Here we are. 12 callers in.
We do not bend.
12 callers in, and we're obviously going to play them all anyway.
There are
I have
rules.
To ask you the question, why do we have to nitpick everyone's call?
There are rules. Harvey,
I will nitpick the people that call up and say, you know what movie I really love? Hot Tub Time Machine. Anyway, Lloyd Dobler, .. But.
No, doesn't count.
Yeah, you know what?
It's not even a person.
Guess what? This is a partnership, not a monarchy, and my vote counts for half. So there you go.
Well, what was your vote?
My vote is in favor of Harvey Locust.
No, it doesn't count. If we say all these other answers don't count, it doesn't count.
No, Lloyd Dobler doesn't count because she wasn't even talking about the question.
Marshall, Will, and Holly don't count either, do they?
Well, nobody said that.
Neither does the Starman of 1951.
I was just posing a hypothetical.
We punched Jeff Hitt in the face, okay? And look, we like that guy. Imagine what we'll do to you, okay?
Wow.
Let's go to the Orca.
Hello, nerds.
By the way, this is not a democracy. This is a dictatorship.
Orca hereby declares that there is but one place to go to find the best time traveler, and that place is Hill Valley. You can keep your quantum leaps and your Doctor Who's, pound sand with your Land of the Lost and Booster Golds. Cable and Bishop can fight into each other's starry eyes. The Governor can go in his hat. Even Joey's beloved Flash don't compare. Who am I talking about? Hello, McFly. I'm talking to you. Anybody home? That's right, Marty McFly. Back to the Future is a great movie. And not just best time travel movies. I mean right up there with Shawshank and the original Superman as one of the best movies of all time. You cannot doubt the charisma of the fantastic Mr. Michael J. Fox. Add in Doc Brown and Biff and Leah Thompson playing his hot mom. I would tap that ass, even if she was my mom.
Whoa!
I'm guessing who wrote that.
Oh, incest!
If you need a tiebreaker, how about
that
he was able to change his mud of a girlfriend into Elizabeth Shue? Like to see Bill and Ted do that. I dare you to change the channel next time you see it on the TBS. You can't do it. Impossible. No matter where you are in the movie, you have to stop what you're doing and watch it to the end. Classic. Kiss, kiss, boys.
Marty McFly. And I think there's a very strong argument to be made for one of the best movies ever.
I got 2 points.
Back to the Future.
I got 2 points.
Hit me.
One, the orca took my answer.
Okay.
Two, he's absolutely right about, like, if you're channel surfing, like, one lazy weekend and you see Back to the Future on television, you're in.
Yeah,
I hope you don't have any other plans.
The next 2 hours of your life, ruined.
My wife and I were sitting at home one weekend, and she just happened to change the channel, and Back to the Future was on, and it was a Back to the Future marathon, which means we sat through all three Back to the Future movies.
Okay, on the subject of all three Back to the Future movies, we just watched that Key and Peele sketch where they brought in like the guy from Hollywood that sexes up sequels.
The Gremlins 2
Yeah,
guy.
The Gremlins 2 guy. And in the
movie.
Yeah, and in the very end, like after he comes up with all these dumb ideas for Gremlins 2, he's like, all right, I gotta go. I gotta figure out a way to get cowboys into Back to the Future 3. I'll see you guys later.
That was an amazing sketch. That's one of my favorite all time Key and Peele sketches.
That's good. That's a great call. That's a great
I don't know,
answer.
Like a hot, sexy gremlin?
You stole Joe Patrick's answer. Way to go, the orca. Jesse Kiefer, I love it when he calls this guy. He knows how to make a call sound good. And listen to this. I'm going to say this. He's got a face for radio, but God, his voice is perfect. I'm kidding. You're adorable, Jess.
Hey there, Joe and Matt. It's Jesse from GrawlixPodcast.com, and I'm sending in my answer of the week. This week's question is about time travel, and after gushing about timeline last week, I really couldn't pass this one up. My answer this week is kind of a fringe answer. We'll see what you think. My answer is Samurai Jack, the legendary series by Genndy Tartakovsky, or however you say that.
I love this series, Jesse.
Because a lot of time travel kind of follows a clear formula of, you know, like the time traveler gets stuck, usually in the past, and because the resources just aren't there to fix their time machine, you know, there's the conflict right there, i.e. Back to the Future. So Samurai Jack is shunted into the future via a magic time portal. So he doesn't even have a time machine, which already puts him at incredible odds of ever getting back in time. And he's stuck in a future he was trying to prevent in the first place. And each week he has to go on trying to find his way back in time to prevent this nightmare future, but all the while righting these wrongs as he goes along the way. So it's not your usual time travel treatment, but it starts with time travel, and eventually the end goal is time travel again. I don't have time to list every way that Samurai Jack is awesome, but as an adult, I felt like this was one of the first times an animated style was used to tell like a real story, as opposed to like a Simpsons or a Family Guy type story with animation, and I thought that was pretty rad. So that's my answer. Take it easy, guys.
Okay.
I think what he means by that is like a story with a definite beginning, middle, and end.
And I will say that Samurai Jack did go there and back again.
Spoilers. I haven't seen Samurai Jack.
Oh, of course you haven't. Samurai Jack was awesome. It was where I first fell in love with Genndy Tartakovsky. Amazing. Really, really good start to finish. And like a lot of continuity through that story. I will say it counts because he went there and he came back.
Oh, come on.
That's traveling.
No, that's time displacement, man.
No, but
it fits all your criteria for time displacement.
He was displaced for a while.
He just got shunted to the wrong place for a while. Just because he got to go home doesn't mean your rules are bullshit.
No, you're right. You're right.
If the only story in which a character appears has time travel as a primary component,
yes.
How is it that they are not time travelers?
Because he does not have the power to travel time.
That is a semantic addition to the question that you made, not the asker.
I agree, but I'm saying...
And you are not in charge of the question.
If the question was, who's your favorite time-displaced character?
No, you're splitting hairs.
I can't go back on this.
You can. That's pride with you. You feel that?
Nice Pulp Fiction.
Thank you. I slipped when I have a few drinks. I slip into my Ving Rhames impression.
That was good. Like right before we get butt.
Really, it's more of the Bruce Willis impression when he repeats it back to him.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Still. Okay. So after he got butt.
Yeah.
All right, screw it. It all counts. There you go.
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
All right.
Screw it. It all counts.
There are no rules in the answer of the week. I don't know why you try so hard.
I'm saying Samurai Jack, not a true time traveler, a time displaced character. I do love Samurai Jack.
He is a character whose main story
was
features
that,
time travel.
That's the problem
as a
I'm having
primary
with it,
component.
Because yeah, the story was he traveled
if
time.
If Back to the Future only had one movie instead of three. I held up two fingers when I did that.
You did.
Would Marty McFly not count?
No, because he has a machine that helps him travel time.
But Matt, he
and
only went to one place.
But theoretically, Marty could go wherever he wanted. He's got a machine that helps him travel
theoretically.
Time.
Theoretically.
Yeah, he's got a car that does that. So but it's part of his character.
But he didn't do it.
Yeah, he did. He went on to do that. So there.
I'm just saying, this is why your rules don't make any sense.
You're saying, what if there was only one movie? There was three. So that's out
I'm
of
saying
the realm of
this is why your rules don't make any sense.
Oh, shut up. Let's go back to the Google voice line.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. David Robbins calling in with my answer to the question of the week.
Welcome back, Dave.
Calling in about time travelers. My answer is going to be a popular one, I'm sure. And I know it's not your choice, but I have to go with the Doctor. Specifically, the 10th Doctor.
You don't know me.
David Tennant. I started with the show with the reboot in 2005. I've not gone back and watched the classic episodes, though I do respect the history of the show. I liked Chris Eccleston as the Ninth Doctor, but I really fell in love with David Tennant's portrayal of number 10. He's angry. He's just broken. He doesn't know what to do, and he just wants to be, but he can't because he keeps getting put into situations where he has to make the tough decision. It's some heart-wrenching television. It has got one of the creepiest episodes of television I've ever seen in Blink. And just overall, the Doctor is my favorite time traveler. Also, I sent an email a little while ago with the Doctor being an answer to my favorite comic book cameos in Buffy Season 8, Issue 5. It takes place in London.
Yeah.
And there's a street scene which has what is supposed to be a red TARDIS, but it's obviously just a red police box, and what are clearly the 10th Doctor and Rose Tyler. So that's about it. Keeping it short this week.
I don't remember that.
And I will catch you guys on the next one.
Okay.
Later.
Okay. David Tennant.
It was just a one-panel like gag.
But Wooly Toots had a question about that.
Your favorite appearance by a character in a place that he obviously did not belong.
Exactly.
That wasn't how the question was worded, but it was essentially that.
Right. David Tennant was the way that I fell in love with Doctor Who as well.
Yeah, I do love David
Tennant. Before that, I did not care at all. And David Tennant got me.
But I think when all was said and done, as much as I love David Tennant, I think Matt Smith is my favorite.
Matt Smith is growing on me. I'm going through those right now. And he's definitely growing on me, but Tennant is still far and away my favorite. Far and away. So good.
Tennant's good. There's no lie. I like all the modern Doctor Who's.
I cried when he left. It was sad.
Oh.
John Luttrell is going to have something disgusting and controversial to say.
Final call.
Take it away, John. This is Brock Lesnar's entrance music from the WWE.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Littrell,
yes.
And I'm the advocate for the most conquering time traveler from the 30th century. Hell, really of any century. He made purple and green more stylish than Joker ever
did. Nice!
Tying it together with a blue face that everybody said wouldn't work. I present to you my client, Nathaniel Richards, better known as Kang the Conqueror. He shut down the Avengers before they had a chance to assemble. Kang then destroyed both the X-Men and the crew of the Enterprise E as easily as flicking a time gnat off of his nut. He turned Adam Warlock into Magus, but then immediately bitch-slapped that little galactic puss bag down. But you're saying to yourself, oh, but John, I read those stories and he didn't do that. Well, guess what? He's not just a time traveler, but also a dimension hopper. So yeah, maybe your Kang the Conqueror didn't, but in our dimension, he did all those things and more. And he's coming for you. Eat, sleep, time travel, conquer, repeat. Eat, sleep, time travel, conquer, repeat.
Oh, okay. Anyone who watches wrestling will know exactly what's going on. That was all Brock Lesnar references.
Oh, good. I thought it was just me.
No. And Paul Heyman is Brock Lesnar's manager, and that's how he talks. He's like, I am the advocate for the most devastating wrestler in wrestling history, Brock Lesnar. It's great. I did not know that Kang is Nathaniel Richards.
Okay, hold up.
Okay.
There's been some confusion in the ziggurat.
Wow.
Vis-a-vis Kang the Conqueror in relation to Nathaniel Richards.
Not Reed Richards' dad, Nathaniel Richards.
Well, so Nathaniel Richards is the real name of Kang the Conqueror.
He's a character from the 30th
century.
Born
in the 30th century.
He was known as the Benefactor.
According to our sources, he is a descendant of Nathaniel Richards, better known as the father of Reed Richards, and later agent of Jonathan Hickman's S.H.I.E.L.D.
And possibly a descendant of Dr. Doom.
Something about Dr. Doom is mixed in there somewhere.
But we don't really know.
This is why things get hazy with time travel.
Yeah.
There's also something in here about how Nathaniel Richards, the original from the 20th century,
right,
may or may not be the father of the real father of Christoph Vernard, Dr. Doom's ward, who did become for a time Dr. Doom.
Yes.
So maybe the thing is that Nathaniel Richards, aka Kang, is a descendant of Christoph.
Oh my God. Which would explain how he's related to Dr. Doom.
Which would explain how he's how he can be both a descendant of Dr. Doom and the original Nathaniel Richards.
Whoa. I see what you did there.
Yeah. That's
good. Somebody write this now.
So basically the takeaway about Kang the Conqueror is that he is so confusing.
Yeah.
He's been a pharaoh. He's been a time traveling conqueror from the future.
Iron Man.
A dude that wears a cape and short pants.
Yep.
That fights the Avengers.
He's been Kid Immortus.
He has worn Iron Man armor as a teenager and fought crime. He grows old and becomes like a time traveling hippie man.
Let's just say he's been busy.
Who can really say
he's been very busy?
Who can? Oh, now there's all this nonsense about the Apocalypse Twins and the Celestials that Rick Remender came up with.
Yeah, the Kang Rays.
I don't even know where that fits in. Kang is a mess.
I love Kang.
Kang is a mess.
I love Kang.
But I think that's probably my favorite part about the concept of time travel.
You can do whatever you want.
Is that Kang could literally be all of those things.
Yeah.
And still counts.
You can do whatever you want with them.
I think it's great.
Favorite call.
So my favorite call goes to Black Scorpion, because his call was not to us. His call was to Kang.
Yeah, he was talking directly to Kang.
It was an impassioned love letter directly to Kang, sent through the answer of the week.
Yes.
He was like, Kang, baby, come back to me. I love you.
It was beautiful.
I thought it was great. I loved how it was set to that like swanky romance music.
Yeah.
Here's a fun, interesting footnote, which I suppose is technically true. On the Wikipedia article for Nathaniel Richards, in the 2015 film Fantastic Four, Nathaniel Richards was briefly played by Tim Heidecker.
From Tim and Eric's Awesome Show?
From Tim and Eric's Awesome Show. Great job.
That's awesome. Okay, mine goes...
Technically accurate.
Mine goes to Wooly Toots because he stole mine, and I love Time Bandits so much. It is such a wonderful film. And that's what it was going to be my... I was going to give this impassioned Time Bandits answer. But now I've had to change it. Son of a bitch.
So go in. Just go for it.
I'm giving it to Toots. So my answer, I was going to go with Quantum Leap because I love Quantum Leap so much. And Sam Beckett was such a wonderful character. And that show was so great. But I cannot believe no one said it. It's another movie that if it is on, I'm in. And I don't care where I'm at. I'm going with Bill and Ted. From Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Bill and Ted were two unlikely time travelers discovered by George Carlin because they would one day save the universe with their motto, be excellent to each other.
Yeah.
And they're shredding riffs in their band Wild Stallions. I love Bill and Ted so much. And you know they directly ripped off Doctor Who with the phone booth and everything. I don't care. The first Bill and Ted's movie was so good.
There's a difference between a ripoff and an homage. Right, right, obviously, right. They did it on purpose.
It's an homage. Bogus Journey, not as good. Still a fun watch. Still pretty fun, but not as good. Bill and Ted, my favorite time travelers.
That's pretty good.
Joe Patrick?
I'm tempted to just say...
There's been a lot of Keanu talk on this show, by the way.
The week's answer of the week brought to you by Keanu Reeves.
I know. He got a bunch of play on the regular show, too. This is ridiculous.
No, that's true. Yeah, we talked about John Wick a lot. I'm tempted to just say, screw it, and stick with my original answer, which was Marty McFly. I'm also tempted to say, screw it. Why would you think about picking Quantum Leap and then not actually pick it?
Because I like Bill and Ted more.
You like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure more than you like Quantum Leap?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
I do.
Out of spite, no. I am picking Quantum Leap. Boom.
Fair enough.
Quantum Leap is my answer.
Sam Beckett.
That show, yeah, Sam Beckett. Quantum Leap is such a great show.
It was an amazing show.
So for those of you that have never seen it, you idiots. Quantum Leap was a show about a scientist named Sam Beckett. Was he a scientist or was he like a pilot or something? I think he was like an Air Force astronaut type guy. Anyway.
No, he was Dr. Sam Beckett, a physicist.
Okay, right. So it's about this fella, Sam Beckett, who is projected back through time. I don't remember why they're doing it.
It was an experiment.
Were they just testing it?
Yeah, they're okay. Testing it, and the
so
test
essentially
went wrong.
He gets caught in this loop almost.
It's very Incredible Hulk.
Sort of.
An experiment goes wrong, and instead of wandering the nation, he wanders time, fixing problems.
So he is only able to travel through his own timeline, which means from like the day he was born to the day he vanished, I suppose.
Yes.
And he essentially inhabits the bodies of these people that are in these situations where their destinies need to be altered in some way to ensure the survival of the future.
Not even altered, but just to make sure.
To make sure the right things happen.
Yeah.
The right things happen.
Carry out their destiny.
And so for example, it's like you are supposed to teleport into the body of this soldier and you need to make sure that your buddy who's in the trenches with you survives so that he can give birth to so-and-so, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And the tragic thing about Quantum Leap is that for all the leaps that he makes, he never leaps back to his
never gets home
hometown.
He never gets home.
Oh,
and it was
that
so
is,
great because he set it up the end of
the
every episode.
End of Quantum Leap.
The end of every episode. There's like this really sweet tie up where like he does it. Him and Dean Stockwell, who is like his holographic
Al.
Partner.
Yes,
Al Calavici, who was like. Pardon me, Admiral Al Calavici.
Oh, yeah, no, he was
like,
a
always
big
had a
deal.
Cigar, and he was like this womanizer. And
he had a computer
like,
named Ziggy.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, Ziggy says you're supposed to do this, you know, and they would always, like, by skin of their teeth, it happens, like, whoa, everything's going to be okay. And he's like, all right, get ready to jump. It's going to happen. I'm like, well, where are we going? He's like, all right, come on, you know I don't know this. So, like, we'll just see what happens. And all of a sudden, bang, and, like, Scott Bakula would open his eyes, more or less, and, like, he's a heart surgeon and he has his hands like inside someone's chest. He has no idea what's going on.
And then
he's like, doctor, are you okay? And he like looks around. He's like, I'm fine.
No, like, no. Oh, he God. Ends every episode. He says, oh boy.
Yeah. He's like, oh.
Every episode he goes, oh boy. Yeah. Whether he's like leaping into the body of a heart surgeon or he leaps into the body of a woman or somebody that's on stage.
I remember
doing
one,
play.
I will never forget. He like leaps into this kid's body. And he's like in a kid's room and he's looking around from his point of view and everything looks totally normal. And he's like, what the heck am I doing here? And he opens a closet door and there's a full length mirror and he's like a mentally handicapped kid, like an obviously like Down syndrome kid. And he looks at himself and he's like, oh boy, like that was an amazing episode. Like I'd never seen anything like that on TV. It was so good.
And of course they did have to get around to him like interacting with his own history.
Yeah.
Like he leapt into his own body, like himself as a child.
Oh, Quantum Leap was fantastic.
And he leapt into his brother's body.
Yeah.
And then he leapt into his brother's war buddy's body to make sure his brother survives. And that is the tragedy of Quantum Leap. And that's how the show ends. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it for you. Is that the show ends with Sam, like, saving the day once again. I don't even remember what the last leap is, but it's very meta.
Yeah. I remember he loses Al. He, like, loses contact with Al because he's, like, they're losing him. He's not losing Al. They're losing him.
Yeah, yeah.
In the time stream.
And so, but essentially, Sam, at great personal cost, he ensures that the right thing happens in history.
And he effectively just, like, dissipates into
time. Well, no, he keeps leaping. They definitely, absolutely imply that he keeps leaping.
But they can't keep track of him anymore, and he's lost. They don't know where he is.
But that's it ends with one of those things, like, at the end of Animal House, where it's like, Bluto, blah, 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 becomes, like, congressman or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it has one of those, like, little text things where it's like, whatever historical events happen as they are supposed to, blah, 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 blah. And Dr. Sam Beckett never went home.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the end of Quantum Leap, is that you know that after everything that happened, Sam never gets to go home.
Right. And his connection was to Al, who was with him. And Al was, like, back wherever Sam came from, like, reporting to the other ones. I mean, like, his only connection to his time. And he loses Al and just sort of, like,
I'm getting a little choked up,
falls into the time stream. And, oh, man, such a great show.
Whew. Yeah, Quantum Leap, man.
Time travel. Man.
Sam Beckett.
What a pain in the ass. This is a heavy one. Thank you for sticking with us through it. That was a lot of calls. I loved it. It was so great. Still, no first-time callers.
We did pretty good.
Oh, no, Jeff Hitt.
Jeff Hitt.
Welcome aboard, Jeff Hitt. Great to hear from you. I know there's some other first-time callers out there. We want to hear from you, and I want to hear from you answering the new question of the week. Joe Patrick, what is it?
This week's question is another one from the THN archives from a very young and fresh-faced Black Scorpion the Three, who asked... Lo, those long year ago. Yeah, right. What is your favorite temporary character transformation? So, for example, Hulk, not Hulk.
Turning into Amadeus Cho.
Well, no, that's a different character. That's not the Hulk transforming. That's Amadeus Cho becoming a different character.
It's still, he's not going to be the Hulk forever. You know that.
Yes, I know, but that's not what he means. He means like...
I would say that counts.
That's not what he means. He means like you've got Thor and then all of a sudden Thor is a frog.
Okay. Or Thor is a woman.
Or Spider. No, again, that's not a temporary.
Okay.
That's not a transformation.
I was just trying to throw that in.
Yes, that's just a different character becoming.
Loki becomes a woman.
Fair. Yes. Loki is a woman.
Loki
is Spider-Man has six arms.
Or Spider-Man has a black costume. That would count too.
No, that's. He means like a physical transformation.
That's a change in a black costume?
No! Costume changes are not what he means.
What about when Daredevil put on armor?
No!
Okay, fine.
Jesus Christ.
So a physical transformation. I'm just spelling it out so we don't have this rule.
Yes, a physical...
We want a physical transformation.
You are the only one that argues the semantics of the rules.
Rules is what makes society work, Joe Patrick.
If you said, yeah, my favorite character transformation is Spider-Man getting the black costume... That is the same as saying my favorite time travel movie is Hot Tub Time Machine.
Okay.
Anyway, John Cusack.
Okay, so physical transformation is what we want.
Yeah.
Okay, there. I don't want to hear you crying about how everybody's answers count next week, right? It's you. You make this happen. Thank you to everyone that called in.
But if people call up and they're not 100% in the spirit, I'm not going to be a jerk about it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to cut them off, hang up on them for the sake of radio.
Okay.
We love everyone that called, even you, Tim Benson. You just didn't get the question right. That's not your fault, but it is your fault. So, I want to hear from some new callers. We will have another Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast hitting this coming weekend. Thank you to everyone again. This is your show. We love every single one of you guys. We love all your answers, even when they don't count. So nice to hear from everybody. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.
Speaking of time travel, I'm working on a little something that will allow me to travel back in time and murder the both of you in your crib. For now though, I'll just continue turning off the lights while you're peeing. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. or leave a Skype message for the username Two-Headed Nerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please.